Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show.
Under budget, ahead of schedule.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
612, we're live on the seventh floor today. We're doing some rehabbing of the Showcase Studio. What are we putting in a new kitchen, or what are we doing down there, Dave? Do we know?
Yeah, I think it's... I don't know. This new house, mm-hmm. I think, is taping down.
So we're shooting a reality show.
Yes.
We're shooting a reality show.
This old house. I'm not sure which.
Why shouldn't this weird year continue? But the good news is it still comes out of your radio or your phone or wherever you're listening this morning. And if this is a podcast, trust me, the show went really well. So listen to all of it. At 6:12, why don't we do this right away? Why don't, you know, we'll get to the 60-minute stuff. We'll get to a very wacky weekend in football. We'll get to the end of the Chicago Bears season.
Oh my God.
Lasted a long time, though, didn't it? And will John Fox be fired today or never? We'll get to all of that coming up. But why don't we get to Paul Conrad? On Monday mornings, we like to start the week this way. Because Paul's kind of the voice of reason.
Thank you.
Really, in these difficult times, to come to somebody who's steady like you are, I think it's important.
Yeah.
So I'm
slow and steady.
You know, a lot of people asked me last week, what do I say to my kids after the Trump win?
Yeah. Trump won.
Yeah, he did. Hate it. And I thought about you because, you know, young Klaus, is a young man now.
Right.
And I'm wondering if he had any advice for you.
He didn't have anything to say to me about it. He said, I don't care and I really don't want to talk about it. Which I kind of appreciate when you're at that age and this is not on your radar. Like, that's kind of a nice place to be.
How old is he now?
He's 13.
So at 13, he goes, look, you're the grown-up. You handle it.
You figure it. I'm a kid. I just want to, you know, race cars and have fun.
Right. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
And by the way, get these kids away from me for a while. Can I get a moment's peace?
My Lord.
I'm 13, for crying out loud.
How about a little time for myself?
Oh, boy. What was the newsroom like the next morning when you came in?
I don't make it into the newsroom that often.
So you just go right to the weather center.
And I shut the door, and I try to stay away from everybody.
Now, see, I don't know the layout over there at Channel 9.
Yeah.
Paul's at Channel 9. We're at the Tribune Tower.
Yeah, two different buildings.
Now, we may be coming there soon.
Right. But we're up for sale also, this station, is if you're looking for a nice piece of property.
Yeah, if you just want to buy a TV station.
Yep.
But the weather center, if I remember correctly, is sort of on the way to the newsroom.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah.
So you don't ever have to go in and see your colleagues.
No. Now, what I've been trying to do for the last 10 years or so is once every other day or every 3 days, I try to walk through the newsroom, just go from one end to the next, and I act busy because the news director's office is in the corner. I try to time it out when she's looking to kind of rush through. You know, with a bunch of papers, and then I turn around and come back.
Just do you yell weather stuff out like, isobars, isobars?
Look out for humidity, man.
Right, and then everybody goes, oh, Paul's got something important going on.
Right.
Don't talk to him
right
now.
And then I just usually hustle back to the weather office, grab my car keys, and leave. But I just kind of feel like, listen, if I'm going to be here, I want her to think I'm working hard.
Now, Dave, when you're there on the weekends, do you ever see the weather people?
I do. Oh, yeah. Sure. I saw Jim Ramsey last night.
Uh-huh. So the weather people actually mingle on the weekends.
Oh, yeah. They're very sociable.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, even when I'm there during the week. I mean, Tom's very always.
So Paul's the only one that ignores the other people at work.
Apparently.
Feeling a little badly about things.
Oh, I wouldn't feel badly.
So maybe I'll make it. I'll try to commit to three times a week when I'm doing that little stunt in the newsroom.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Two times is plenty?
You don't like people. It doesn't make you a bad person.
It's not that I don't like them. I just don't get along with most of them.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think we're saying the same thing.
Okay.
All right, so here's my point before you have to go. And by the way, try to follow the Bears news.
Oh, my Lord.
But here's my point on this whole Trump thing. I didn't vote for him. I don't like him.
All right.
But having said that, I think at this point you got to support him. He's the president of the United States. You got to do the best you can to support him. Doesn't mean you don't disagree with him.
Right.
But you got to support him.
Right.
I watched the 60 Minutes interview last night. Parts of it scared the hell out of me.
Yeah.
But part of it looked like he may have some grown up in him. So you got to support him. Now, my concern for guys like you and me is the triple comb over going to catch on, and are we going to have to grow out our hair again?
Right. That's my concern as well. And I don't know what I would do if I had to have hair like that.
If that gets hot, a triple comb over may be the only way to go. You don't see that getting a bit, turning into a hot air stove.
I don't know that I could pull it off, to be honest with you.
So you're willing to support the president, but it only goes so far. You're
sure,
not going to do a triple comb.
I can't do a triple comb.
What if he makes it a law? What if he makes a triple comb over
a law?
Then
I'll comply because I'm a law-abiding citizen.
Right.
I'll just do it. I'll do a silent protest when I get home and shut the door. I'm taking the thing off. I'm spinning it backwards and letting it hang down straight.
These are the things that Paul and I worry about.
Yeah.
Any closing comments from you?
Well, I just wanted to confess that my streak of 3-day baths ended at 97 days. I only got two in on Saturday because it was a busy day, and so it came to a halt. So I'm restarting. I'm on day two.
Well, that's not bad. I mean, hygiene matters. And
it does matter.
Sunday night is bath night.
Pride. I thought I could make it a full year, but it was a rough day Saturday. So, but don't be discouraged. I'm back on it.
All right, cool. You're the best.
All right.
Love you.
I got the runs.
Okay, bye-bye. That's Paul Conrad. He's at Channel 9, and he does terrific work there, Dave. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
Yes, he does.
Because apparently he hides in the Weather Center often.
Well, it's I don't know about that. Of course, I'm not there when he's there, usually.
Right.
But if he does, he's the only one of the weather guys who does.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't like people. Would make him a bad person.
No.
The Bears are inexplicably horrifically bad because yesterday should have been one they could win and obviously needed to win. It was a must win. Hamp's Head finally did literally explode. We've been cleaning it up. That's why we're on the seventh floor. Hamp's Head exploded down in the Showcase studio, and you can't imagine the mess.
Did you hear him and OB?
A little bit.
Oh, my
gosh. A little bit. Was OB here or was he at home? Sounded like he was in a remote location.
He was here.
Oh, was he?
As far as I know.
But at any rate, we're cleaning up the Hamp mess. We're reassembling his head, and he will be on this morning at 7:40. Reince Priebus, the likely chief of staff. Is Reince on the show, or are we just talking about Reince? We're talking about Reince with Pat Brady. Okay. But we will get Reince on eventually. And Bill Curtis will be on. We saw Bill here the other day. There's a very big event tonight, a cooperation amongst all the radio stations in the city, which is really phenomenal, and it will probably never happen again in our lifetime. You think the super moon's rare? Try getting 40 radio stations to do the same thing for the good of the people.
All working together.
Yeah, and Bill Curtis and Mayor Emanuel and others will do a giant simulcast tonight, and Curtis will be on to tell us about that. We should probably reach out to the mayor, too, see if he wants to jump on. And for those of you who go, I never get to hear Coach Q. He'll be out in the 9 o'clock hour today. So we're spreading the Q.
Good. He's packing.
He's what?
What?
He's what? Why? What's he? What? What's he upset about?
Dang. No. He's
Why is he
packing.
Carrying a weapon?
He's packing for a trip. A circus trip.
You mean literally?
You
packing.
Look so surprised when I said
you
that.
You said he's packing. I thought he had a weapon.
No.
What's he angry about?
No.
They want to get.
No. He's very happy.
It's already the circus trip.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Wow. How about that?
In fact, I passed on the Kennedy this morning a truck, a Ringling Brothers truck. Making its way towards downtown.
Any clowns fall out?
not that I saw, Steve,
it's
but it was
awkward.
Early.
Remember that time a truckload of clowns spilled out and a truckload of rings had to come out and be thrown to get them all back together?
Yeah, that was weird.
And then tiny cars came and picked them all up and drove them away?
I didn't report on that.
That wasn't in your traffic report?
No,
I'm sorry.
I remember that one.
6:20, Mary, I'll have a Dancing with the Stars preview, too. They're down to their last 500 contestants for this season. Isn't it funny how this works for so many things this morning? Works for the circus trip. Works for the new Trump administration. Works for the Bears. Works for all of it. I don't know how you felt if you saw the 60 Minutes interview, but the 60 Minutes interview to me was part good and part frightening. And let's break it up and give you a little bit of the good because, again, you support the office of the president if you're of the same mind I am. And by the way, the protesters, and we'll get to the protesters, but the protesters that are now in day 5 or day 6, go home, get a snack. Come back, you know, maybe a nap, maybe check with mom and dad, say hello. Make sure your Thanksgiving guest list is all in order before you come back out there. Because right now the protests, the net effect of these protests, other than making folks feel good that they're exercising their rights, which they're fully entitled to do, is to be on the radar and to let the congressional reps that they have know that they're upset. And I would encourage all of that. If you know, Dave, if we could bottle up all that energy, all of that energy for these protests and put it towards a serious look at the Electoral College, or put it towards actually defining what legislation will matter going forward. These are the things that will affect your life. I'm not mocking the protesters. I'm not saying don't protest. I'm just saying what you're doing will have minimal effect without a stated goal or a specific goal city to city. And the violence on both sides, frankly, but the violence and the damaging of property has to stop. And Trump has to come out and talk about it. He could hold a press conference today. He'd have a bigger crowd than the president would have. And the president could state it as well. You know how powerful that would be if the two of them came out together again, but in this case came out and said there is no endorsement of the Klan. There is no endorsement of any sort of bigotry that's going on. And there's no endorsement of Democrats destroying property and punching out people either. It's got to stop. 626, before we get to some sound here, Sandberg.
Well, and plus the protesters are in the wrong place. They should be going to their friends' houses in Florida and Michigan and standing in their yards and protesting the people that voted for them if they're that angry.
Well, how about this? How about you go to Wisconsin where Hillary Clinton lost by 27,000 votes and go find the people that didn't vote?
There you go.
A large group of them are probably in that crowd. But go find the people in Wisconsin that didn't vote and make sure they vote next time.
Yeah.
There's your protest. Donald Trump appeared to be presidential last night. Yep, I said it. He appeared to be presidential last night. Leslie Stahl asked him what it felt like the moment he realized that he won.
On election night, I heard you went completely silent. Was it a sort of realization of the enormity of this thing for you?
I think so. It's enormous. I've done a lot of big things. I've never done anything like this. It is so big. It is so, it's so enormous. It's so amazing.
Kind of just took your breath away. Couldn't talk.
A little bit. A little bit. And I think I realized that this is a whole different life for me now.
Trump also talked about Hillary Clinton and her graciousness after her defeat. Could he be gracious too?
Hillary called you. Tell us about that phone call.
So Hillary called, and it was a lovely call. And it was a tough call for her. I mean, I can imagine. Tougher for her than it would have been for me, and for me it would have been very, very difficult. She couldn't have been nicer. She just said, "Congratulations, Donald. Well done." And I said, "I want to thank you very much. You were a great competitor. She's very strong and very smart."
What about Bill? Hello, Bill. Don, it's Bill. What did Bill Clinton say?
What about Bill Clinton? Did you talk to
him? He did. He called the next day.
Really? What did he say?
Actually called last night.
What did
and
he say?
He couldn't have been more gracious. He said it was an amazing run, one of the most amazing he's ever seen.
Said that.
He was very, very, really very nice.
You know, you said that you might call President Obama for advice. Would you think of calling President Clinton for advice?
Well, he's a very talented guy, both of them. I mean, this is a very talented family. Certainly, I would certainly think about that.
Now, that doesn't sound like a guy that's going to put her in jail or try to put her in jail.
Doesn't sound that way.
But later on, we'll play some of the audio. Say, let's break this up into two. We'll call this Good Donald. This is Good Donald. We'll play a little bit of Bad Donald later on where he falls back into some of the same old traps. But a lot of people are wondering, and we're wondering going into that interview last night. What about all the things that you shut your mouth off with, Mr. President-elect, during the campaign? Are you going to run this way? Are you going to run that this way? And what's going to happen to health care?
Let me ask you about Obamacare, which you say you're going to repeal and replace. When you replace it, are you going to make sure that people with preconditions are still covered?
Yes, because it happens to be one of the strongest assets.
You're going to keep that.
Also, with the children living with their parents for an extended period, we're going to try and keep that. Adds cost, but it's very much something we're going to try and keep.
And there's going to be a period, if you repeal it and before you replace it, when millions of people could lose.
We're going to do it simultaneously. It'll be just fine. That's what I do. I do a good job. You know, I mean, I know how to do this stuff. We're going to repeal it and replace it. And we're not going to have like a two-day period. and we're not going to have a two-year period where there's nothing. It will be repealed and replaced, and we'll know. And it'll be great health care for much less money.
This is where he slides into Bad Donald, which we'll get to later on in the program and play some of it, because even though there's a budget process called reconciliation where you can defund portions of it and change portions of it and take out portions of it without affecting all of it. I've been saying this since 2012. Don't blow the entire thing up. Just change parts of it. And we'll get to Dr. Most on this here in a little bit as well. But in the meantime, the only way you can have no distance between a repeal and replace is if you repeal it in 2 years when you have your program already in place and you've been working on the replace. You cannot repeal and replace the same day. Not possible. 6:31, back with the news in the big story. Andre is off this week. Vic will be in next on 720 WGN.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
It's Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Impact every day. And Dr. Most will join us here in just a second. We're on the seventh floor in the studio. Am I popping the phones on? Okay. And let's go to Dr. Most now. Good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing fine. We're in a new facility here for the day, maybe a couple of days. So if I disconnect you at any time, just know I shouldn't be allowed to fly the plane.
Yes, that's very true.
Standard operations. I want to get to the president-elect on health care, because obviously that's your world. But before we do that, our friend Brian Bickle, it was announced the other day, has been diagnosed with MS. He is 30 years old. One would assume this ends his career. But more importantly, this is a huge change in how he manages his life. What do we know about MS? Is this typical that someone 30 could get it? And what does Bix need to do? Because whenever a celebrity has something that's significant like this, we think the public can learn from it as well.
Yeah. You know, your first question, yeah, the vast majority of cases for MS are diagnosed people under the age of 40. He's actually right in the prime time for the patients that get MS, and we still don't know why. But let's just try to make MS a little bit simple so that people understand what he is going through. So the brain's very complex. The brain is this amazingly complex electrical system. And just like the electrical system you have in your house, anything that you plug into the wall where the electricity comes out, it's covered in plastic. It's covered in rubber as an insulator. The exact same thing happens with our nerves in the brain. They're covered with something called myelin, and it's an insulation around that nerve that allows the brain to send a message to wherever it's going, whether it's your eyes or your muscles, and it's protected and it's not disrupted. Unfortunately, in MS, the body's immune system says, you know what, I don't like myelin anymore, and I'm going to go attack it. And when it does damages, temporary damages for the most part, to these nerves, and they stop working. So you can get blurred vision, you can get double vision, you can get weakness, you can get tingling sensations. And what happened there is that the myelin had been attacked, the nerve is exposed, it won't send the message to where it's supposed to go.
So do we know why some people have it so much worse than others, and some have it in a very manageable state?
No, and it's kind of interesting that, you know, some people have it in a manageable state. There's a lot of thought that people have it and don't even know they have it, because it's something that's called a relapsing disease. So it comes and it goes. And when it goes away, it can be gone for a matter of weeks, months, even years before you have another relapse. And we're really not sure why.
Is there a way to tell that people have had it, or not until they get, I don't know, more of a full-blown case of it? Can you find out?
Yeah, when you have a full-blown case of it, certainly an MRI exam will show it, and then something called a lumbar puncture, where we look actually at the fluid that bathes the brain, and we look for specific proteins that we find with people with MS. So we have ways to diagnose it, but we really can't predict, oh, you're going to have mild cases of this going forward. And we can't say, why did I get this? We don't know whether it's because of a viral illness, genetics, environmental exposure to something. We're not even sure yet.
Well, when Bix was having problems in the last year and a half, one of the things that came up was he was having difficulty staying on his skates. And then they thought he had vertigo.
Yep.
Our misdiagnosis or a difficulty in diagnosing the disease, does that go with MS?
Yes, absolutely. because you have these kind of weird symptoms, right? So a lot of people have vertigo. If we did MRIs for every person that had vertigo, we'd be spending a whole lot of money in capturing very little, because you have to remember there's only about 400,000 cases of MS in the United States. So there's a couple million people easily with vertigo every single day. So we just need to figure out, you have to start putting those together and say, wow, he had that episode of vertigo. Well, that went away, but he had this episode of tingling. Has he had any vision problems? And you start to put those three together. Now all of a sudden you have to start going, wow, this may be more than just these simple one-offs. But a hockey player that has some of these symptoms, yeah, you can almost equate it to the game, which is unfortunate.
Well, and also, and I don't know this to be true, but I do know Bickle a little bit, and professional athletes, Dave, which you know well, they're not going to go, wow, I really don't feel like playing today. You know, especially if they're in a position where they're feeling a little down or they're feeling a little weird, they're going to try to work through it because they want to stay in the game. So if you take those symptoms, which maybe the individual ignores initially, and then you combine it with the difficulty in diagnosing it, they can go on for a while before you figure out what's going on, right?
Absolutely. And it's not like, oh, gosh, that's too bad because, boy, we could have done something. No, not really. To be honest with you, we don't have any great treatments that are going to cure this disease or stop this disease. We have some medicines that will slow the disease a little bit. We have some that will hopefully extend the relapse periods or get you off of a symptom at a time. You know, put people on steroids to help with that and hopefully, you know, decrease the amount of time that you have the symptoms. So that's the goal, is decrease the amount of time you have the symptoms and also increase the time between relapses. But we don't have a cure for this. So it's not like he did anything bad to his body by not getting diagnosed earlier.
And the Hawks, by the way, because I know there's people in the Hawks organization that are going, wow, what did we do here? Did we miss something? Could we have done something else? It doesn't sound like they could have.
No, and they shouldn't be beating themselves up. You know, nobody should be. You know, this is a disease that as people get it, they say, wow, looking back, I did have some of these symptoms. But again, it's not like, boy, if we would have got it, you know, if we would have found it 3 years ago, we would have cured you. No, it really made no difference, actually, in his outcomes.
Doc, he has said that he wants to try to play again, which
sure.
is only understandable. But is that realistic for somebody with MS?
Sure. You know, you have to look at some of the symptoms. You know, he could theoretically go 2 years without having another relapse. Some of the symptoms might be he might just have some tingling in a certain part of his body, and if he can overcome that. Now, if he has vision problems or vertigo, he certainly shouldn't be playing. But depending on the symptoms and depending on his relapse times, he may still be able to play. You know, these are the people that you really want to try to stay as healthy as possible so that your immune system is strong. And for him, it'll be interesting to see how frequent his relapses are and if he still be able to play.
He's a big, tough dude. If anybody can do it, he can. So we certainly hope he's in that relapse category. And, you know, it makes me think of Kevin Matthews, who's been dealing with MS for years. And Kev, you know, has good days and bad days, but the medication generally seems to give him a full life. So for people that are listening who have symptoms they can't identify, this is no different than anything else when we talk about symptoms that just your inner voice says something might be wrong here. You got to go get it checked out, right?
Yeah, you do. And, you know, it's not a life-threatening illness, but it is something that can be fairly devastating to you. So you certainly want to know, and now it starts to make a little bit of sense, and let's get some treatment. And I'll say one of the big things is, you know, if you like Brian Bickle, make a donation to the MS Society.
Yep.
We're trying to find out what causes this, and we're trying to find a cure for it. So just like supporting Ronnie with diabetes, you know, let's rally around Bickle and give some money to the MS Society.
Donald Trump says he's going to keep parts of Obamacare. What's it mean for the health industry? We'll get back to that in a second. Back with Dr. Kevin Mo, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Impact every day. I don't know if you caught the 60 Minutes interview last night, Doc, but Donald Trump says, sure, we're going to keep the kids get to stay on their parents' part of Obamacare, and sure, we're going to keep the pre-existing conditions. It's something that the Republicans should have handled a long time ago, as opposed to this constant harangue of repeal and replace. It's this giant, unwieldy law, and they're not wrong about trying to fix it. But basically, Trump is backtracking from a whole blow-up to saying, only take parts of it out. What does that mean to hospitals?
Well, one, I think it's good that he's at least backtracking a little bit. You know, you have 20 million people out there that didn't have insurance that now do. So to take that away from them would be devastating. The difficult thing that we're trying to get our arms around is how does this work? Because the math just doesn't work. If he drops the individual mandate but keeps the pre-existing condition and allows children to stay on their parents, the way insurance works is healthy people pay for unhealthy people. You take it as an insurance plan. And without having that basis of healthy people paying into it, I don't understand how he says we're going to have better coverage for less.
It doesn't work that way. Right. It's exactly what you said. The only way the cost model works is if you insist on a mandate where healthy younger people have to pay.
Correct.
All right. So if we know that, they've got to figure that part out. The other part is the repeal and replace. The repeal is easy. You can do that with a signature. The replace part is not easy. You know, I feel like you and I talked about this 5 or 6 years ago.
Yep.
Couldn't you have gone back and fixed Medicare and made it accessible to people who didn't have insurance at a different level than go through this whole thing?
Absolutely. Could have fixed Medicaid and Medicare to take care of all this, but now who knows what they're going to come up with. And you asked earlier about how hospitals like the Affordable Care Act. And the reason that we liked it is even though we got paid a very small amount, a very low amount that didn't even cover our costs, it was still much better than us chasing somebody because they didn't have insurance or putting them through collection agencies and those very difficult things that were financially devastating to families. So this allowed them to at least have coverage and put some of the onus on us as hospitals to say, how are we going to care for you more efficiently instead of just doing things? So I'm not sure what's going to come out of it, but it's going to be very interesting to see over the next couple of years.
A couple of quickies. We'll do the lightning round here. Yeah. One of the big concerns he seems to equate autism with vaccines. We know it's factually wrong, and we also know, and this is a big picture problem for the president-elect, no job on the planet is there where words matter more than that job, and you can't be spouting factually incorrect things.
Exactly. Don't even open your mouth and talk about it if you aren't sure. For him to say, oh, you know, there's a link between autism and vaccines, and we need to spread these out so it'll take a longer period of time. Well, every time you spread out a vaccine, you're now running the risk that child's going to be exposed to the illness that you're trying to protect them from. He's got to look at the science, keep his mouth shut. His chief of staff for HHS and his surgeon general hopefully will educate him to say, hey, you take care of the political stuff. Let us take care of the medical stuff.
Now, on the flip side of this, one of the reasons to do immigration properly is there's a large amount of emergency room visits for undocumented folks that end up driving the cost of health care up. So appropriate immigration law, done humanely, which is a different argument, but the basic math here is that could help health care costs.
It definitely could. And, you know, that's the one we kind of struggle with. We say, gosh, we have people here, undocumented people here, that would love to buy insurance, and we won't allow them to buy insurance. So if we don't allow them to buy insurance, they still get injured, they still get ill, and we still take care of them, which just drives up more costs. Now, I'm not saying keep all the undocumented. I'm not going to get into the political side of what we do with that, but we do need to make sure that we're protecting these people because whether we know it or not, they're your neighbors. They go to your church. They shop at the same grocery stores as
right.
you. So providing care to everyone is important, just a matter of how we're going to pay for it.
I've only got 30 seconds here, so we need to revisit this. But the cost of prescription drugs, he wants to bring them down. There's a math problem here, too, because these are for-profit companies. What do you do there?
Well, there's two things there. One is they're for-profit companies. The other is we have to realize that the United States pays for almost all the research in the world. The vast majority of it is done on our backs. So medications that we pay $5 for, there's other parts of the world paying 50 cents for it. So what he's saying is, well, let's buy it for 50 cents. Well, if we start to do that, you're absolutely right. The profits of these companies go down, which are big employers. And also the research dollars dry up because now they're just barely making, you know, a little bit of a profit here. So there's got to be some balance. Big pharma is a big issue. I know that. But we also have to realize that the advancements that have been made in medications over the past 30 years, 40 years, are dramatic, and they're adding quantity and quality to our lives. So we have to make sure that we at least protect them somehow.
President of the United States, it's harder than it looks.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine Impact Every Day. Thank you, my friend.
You got it. We'll talk to you soon.
And we'll take a break, come back, get your news next on 720 WGN.
Chicago. There are several ways to get the news. Either somebody can get it for you, or you can get it yourself. I like to get it myself. I've been a reporter all my life, and it's no different now that I'm an anchor man. When a story breaks, I want to be there. I want to get it as fast as possible. And let's face it, I want to get it faster than anybody else. That's just the way I am.
Bill Curtis, Channel 2 News.
You have like a flinch or a flashback? You feel like you've got to have copy in front of you when you hear that music?
I like to get it any way I can. So fast.
That's
well,
so
the days, I tell you.
Bill Curtis is here tonight in an unprecedented show of support. You will host Mayor Emanuel for a radio town hall with, is it 40 radio stations?
40. 40.
I've never seen anything like this.
I don't think I've heard about anything like it in any of the metro areas or small, and the others don't have enough radio stations. It came about because the mayor had challenged them, not confrontationally, but suggested, hey, what are you doing to help me?
Right.
Or the city?
Right.
And there happens to be a group of called Radio Broadcasters of Chicagoland that works with the Illinois broadcasters. They started thinking and they said, hey, let's all get together. We'll put on a show here. So the decision was made to have a half hour at 6 o'clock, 30 minutes of a conversation. I'm your host, and we'll cover all the bases.
So obviously violence will be a part of it. The fact that the city's out of money. Do you know, are there any other topics that you definitely are going to hit?
I'm going to lead off with a little thing like looking out your window right here. I think we are in the middle of the most amazing, call it a transition. It is the biggest building boom in Chicago history.
Which, generally speaking, you see cranes in a skyline.
54.
That's huge for the economy.
44 major skyscraper apartment buildings going up. You know, in the River North area, drive down there because we don't build just buildings. We're building canyons of buildings. It's truly amazing. And it's coming down Michigan Avenue. I said, my God, there's a new building. You know, it's all they're all the frosty glass and chrome. They're beautiful. But it is something. Now, you do have a tale of two cities. And we would be skyrocketing along if we didn't have violence and money problems. So we'll talk about those, too.
And people can submit questions to ChicagoRadioStations.com. You'll get to as many of those as possible, right?
It is a digital town hall, and you can probably, we'll find them. You send them in.
Yeah, well, they're going to be hashtag at ChicagoRadioStations.com, or you can go hashtag Chicago Radio on social media. And a producer will come in and go, Mr. Curtis, here are some questions. Which one do you like? And you'll go from there. Where are you guys doing this?
If they ask you to make a pledge to WBEC, you're in the
right.
wrong place.
Yeah, if it's a Channel 11 pledge drive, you've called the wrong number.
We'll be down in City Hall.
City Hall, okay. Well, I know the mayor's excited about this because I talked to him about it a month or two ago.
Oh, good.
And it'll be interesting, too, because from your perspective, how do you avoid bringing up the election? Just a matter of time?
Oh, I'll bring it up.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, because we'd all love to hear from him.
Absolutely.
You know, is it going to hurt us because we have no longer the friend, you know, in the White House?
Right.
It'll be very interesting.
Well, I think you can talk about that chief of staff piece, too, right? Because Reince Priebus, and I'd love to keep you around if you've got time to do another segment, because Pat Brady's going to be on. Pat Brady knows Reince Priebus well. But there's this other character, Steve Bannon, that has suddenly come in like something out of, you know, a Harry Potter novel that you got to watch for. But anyway, we'll get to that in a second. So I think this is people might go, why only 30 minutes? The fact that you get 40 radio stations to cooperate for 30 minutes is remarkable, don't you think?
That means they've given up airtime, commercial time.
Right.
For an experiment. Now, if the ratings are good, they'll have another one, and it probably will be an hour.
Right.
Because that evening hour right in there, people are watching television.
Right.
And they're eating. So they can afford to give it away. It, you know, radio needs some experimentation.
Sure.
For content.
Right.
Substance. And I think NPR has hit upon some really good themes.
Right.
And shows. But You know, it takes talent.
Well, and the reinvention of this place, which is not cheap, not that I'm getting overpaid, but we're the last big kahuna of talk radio. And the fact that this has worked and from the Jimmy DeCastro architecture starting in 2013 to, you know, wherever we take it from here is a nice blend between what radio was and what radio has to become.
If you ask a friend, they're probably listening to podcasts. It's moving in that direction
sure.
so fast because they can choose exactly what they want. They don't have to listen to the stuff they don't want to get
right.
there.
Right.
One of the interesting things is that the decline of cable. Cable may be going out of business.
How about that?
I can't imagine, but all of I mean, how fast these transitions work. ESPN, that provides half of the profit in the television division for Disney.
Right.
Between March and May of spring, was losing 10,000 viewers a day.
A day?
A day.
It's just incredible. And when you think about it, you go back to 1980, how excited we all were about cable, and everybody in the three-channel universe went, it's just a fad. And then here comes the internet in the 90s, and we go, it's just a fad. Well, you saw what it did to the newspaper business.
Yeah.
Well, nothing could speed the death of another medium, whether it's cable or radio or local television or whatever, the movie business, by going, that's nothing. It'll go away. That's mm-hmm. what podcasting is important to us, but that's also why video is important to radio.
Well, you know, baby boomers were so big for the American culture. I'm now beginning to think millennials are going to be as big. Why? Because they have the purchasing power or lack of it. They don't have the big, high-paying jobs.
Right.
So they don't want 500 stations, 499 of them they don't watch.
Right.
So they're canceling cable, and they're going to the individual, the Netflix.
Right.
And I'll just pick that. Why? Because they get their news from the little iPhone.
And the weird thing is, and this goes to the conversation about the Trump presidency, and frankly, it'd be true for Hillary as well, you can't stop in this world that we live in and in the world's greatest democracy at the headline you like and the one you agree with. You have to actually consume more news. Broadcasting was always able to provide that. Now people are able to hear only what they want to hear, which is the Steve Bannon world as well, which is why he's a little bit frightening. More on tonight's big radio event. By the way, are you and Roe doing some extra stuff afterwards? Is that happening?
I don't think so.
So
they haven't asked.
It's 30 minutes?
30 minutes.
Well, listen, Bill, you're Bill Curtis. You can stay around as long as you want. You own this town. It's 721. Let's get traffic from Mary and then more with Bill Curtis. We'll get Pat Brady in here on 720 WGN.
What I think is that Donald Trump understands that with every position that is taken and as you get closer to the White House, mm-hmm. A degree of humanity and decency is part of every decision that needs to be made. And I know Donald Trump. I know Donald Trump in private. I talk to him every day. I know what he's thinking about a lot of these issues. And this is a good and decent man that wants to do the right thing and wants to take every position that he's talking about and pepper it with decency, dignity, and humanity.
Wow. Which campaign was he watching? That's Ryan Priebus. Bill Curtis is here. Before I throw Pat Brady into the mix here, again, I want to remind you, it's tonight, an unprecedented cooperative effort for a radio town hall. Bill Curtis will host, Mayor Emanuel the guest, and you can submit questions to ChicagoRadioStations.com or through social media with a hashtag Chicago Radio. And look, you got people asking you to do things left and right, but I think this is really important, and I appreciate you doing this. You and I are old friends, but I think it's great that you're doing this.
Thank you. Yeah, I do too.
So we're looking forward to it tonight, 6:30. Roe, by the way, will have his own panel this afternoon on his show in addition to this. I want to get you involved here a little bit with this election stuff for just a second. Pat Brady joins us now. And Pat Brady knows Reince Priebus very well. Aside from having a funny name, Pat, why should this make us feel good about him being the chief of staff?
He's fundamentally a very decent human being, family guy. Very smart, very politically astute, calm. He has taken that RNC from when I worked with him, the RNC was dead after Michael Steele, turned it around, been one of the best fundraisers they've ever had. I can't say enough good things about him, and he's got a tough job ahead of him, but I have full confidence in him.
Bill Curtis is here. Bill, you know that the chief of staff position is the gatekeeper to the president, who gets in, who doesn't get in, what the president hears, doesn't hear, really the chief advisor more than anybody else of that title. From what you know of Reince Priebus, do you share that opinion?
I know nothing about him.
Ah.
So my impression came only in the campaign, seeing him on television. I liked him. He was not the controversial one, the hair on fire guy. Steve Bannon got himself a job, which is high, but it's not mandatory in terms of being able to dictate his views. You can take him or leave him. So,
wouldn't the chief of staff be the person? I mean, I know Trump said they've got equal sway. They can't have equal sway, can they?
No. I think chief of staff is the most powerful guy in the White House, isn't he, Pat? Outside.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that role, I'm not sure if that's a created role, and I kind of agree with you, Bill. I mean, he's not somebody that's mandatorily going to be in a cabinet meeting where the chief of staff would be. He might just. I just don't like the fact he might be chirping in Donald Trump's ear, but we'll see how really powerful that spot is.
Yes.
So Reince Priebus, through the campaign, just by way of timing, and obviously we weren't in the room, seemed to have a little bit of trouble controlling Trump when Trump would go off the reservation or outside the white lines. And then, why am I forgetting her name? The woman that ran the campaign in the last...
Kellyanne Conway.
Kellyanne Conway came in and seemed to really lead him to victory down the road. Why was she not considered for this, or was she, Pat?
I think she was. I'm not sure if she wants it. There was a series on CNN a couple years ago, and the funniest part of it was about chiefs of staff, former chiefs of staff, and Bill Daley described it as expletive job in the world. So it's not an easy job, and it's oftentimes not a fun job.
Well, the guy you're talking to tonight, Mayor Emanuel, did it for President Obama. Historically, these guys generally don't last more than one term because it's 24 hours a day, right?
Yeah, maybe only 2 years, and sometimes you don't leave on the best of terms. So it's a tough job. But listen, Reince is he's just a fundamentally decent person. He did everything he could, honoring his commitment at the Republican National Committee to support the nominee, and he did everything like you should do it. So I'm very happy with this pick.
Well, you have to say no so many times. No, yep. You can't see the president. And you have to, one, lie. You have to be able to divert them into another area where they walk away satisfied. It is hard.
Well, Reince is a good bridge, too, to Congress, because as chairman of the RNC, he's been working with all these folks. So the relationships that Donald Trump doesn't have, Reince does. I think that's a big ad for him.
From a media standpoint, you've certainly interviewed many presidents in the past. Is the chief of staff the point person who eventually decides if the media gets in for those exclusive sit-downs, or does that go through another department?
Well, you start with the media department, the press secretary, primarily. Everybody has to kind of divide up the job. But he'll have the ultimate say.
Okay. And you think he's strong enough to handle this?
I do. He was strong enough to clean up the RNC, and he was strong enough to get through this campaign without the RNC blowing up, because he was catching it from all sides. But the thing that I feel best about, he's just a fundamentally very decent guy, just like that clip you played. That's exactly who Reince is.
Joe Scarborough on MSNBC this morning is saying that he has high sources in the Republican Party that said Steve Bannon was the leveler for Trump in the final days. And he was the guy saying in Trump's ear, don't tweet this, don't tweet that, stay on message. That seems almost impossible to me with everything I know about Breitbart. Could that be true, Pat?
I'm not sure. I don't know what that relationship is, but I do know that in the last 72 hours, he's come out with some pretty reasonable statements on health care reform, on immigration. He said today that the gay marriage law is settled law. So I think he's toning it way back, and hopefully somebody is whispering in his ear to do that.
It used to be a thing, Bill Curtis, that when the president called, maybe he didn't want the job, but if you were called to duty, you generally took it, and it was a matter of honor. But there's also that drive to power. Steve Bannon's got plenty of money. He can certainly go back to Breitbart. Reince has a nice life. What would draw you to the hornet's nest that is a Trump presidency right now, do you think?
This is the Emerald City. This is all that he has ever wanted. A conservative position, leading the most powerful country in the world. I mean, what else would he want? Just to sit and shoot his mouth off on talk radio? He's done that and he's bored. I can't think of a better job for him.
So, and for those who surround him, do you think any of them go to bed at night and say, we're the ones that have to save the country because we got to keep an eye on the boss as well?
They probably do think sincerely that they have to save the country. I thought that the kids were the ones who convinced Trump to, you know, stop tweeting so much. He listens to them, obviously. But there had to be a village to bring him under control.
So you're telling me with Trump it takes a village. Damn, there's a lot of villages, Pat Brady.
Yeah, it's you got to give him a chance to govern, but we'll wait and see.
Yeah, and I thought, I don't know, Bill, if you saw 60 Minutes last night, Pat, I know you saw it, but again, there were vast moments where he appeared to be presidential and reverent of the position, only sprinkled with crazy Trump moments. And again, I share what you just said, and I've said it many times here. I didn't support him. I don't feel good about the fact that he won, but I'll support him now.
Sure.
He's the president of the United States, and there's no downside to him doing poor, or I should say no upside to him doing poorly in the job.
Well, looking at all our friends who get up in the morning and wondering if they can actually, if the world is still there.
Right.
I mean, they feel it that deeply. This transition is going to be a long time in turning. I think it'll be years to kind of get to the point where you say, hey, well, you know, he made five good decisions there. Maybe I should support him. He's okay.
Right. Right. And if you want to change the fundamentals of the process from the Electoral College to anything else, you got to work through Congress, folks. You got to work through Congress and your state houses, because that's where all of that stuff will change. But, you know, who thought the voice of reason would be Oprah? Oprah last week said, Oprah said, take a breath, everybody. And that's what everybody does. Take a deep breath and relax, and let's see what happens here.
So, she was part responsible for Barack becoming president. He was the one, she said. So she must be disappointed.
All right, Pat Brady, thank you for the insight on Reince. We'll talk to you more about it later this week. But in the meantime, keep an eye on everybody and call us on the hotline if there's trouble.
I will. I'll be down at Springfield. Keep an eye on things.
All right, thanks. Yeah, by the way, thanks, Pat. By the way, we got to get to the Mike Madigan story as well, which we haven't touched. After 7 months off, Mike Madigan has told the governor he doesn't have time to meet with him about the upcoming budget because, you know, he's got to get to the Jewel or something. You know, he didn't have time in the 7 months off. Unbelievable. Bill, I really look forward to it tonight. And as I said, I salute you for doing it. And I know that you're going to have a great conversation with the mayor. And I'm glad it's airing here and everywhere else in town.
Thanks, Steve.
Nice to see you.
Okay, we'll see.
7:35. We'll come back with your big story next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
I promise you, I'm sick of the rebuilding mantra. I'm sick of the injuries have hurt us at times. I'm sick of this let's regroup, let's clean up nonsense. And let me tell you something. For us to go to Tampa and not only fall flat on our face but embarrass ourselves, this is sickening. It's sickening. And you know what? In the interim, the Chicago Cubs have won their world championship, and now it only increases the beat of the drum to get rid of this fool, John Fox.
OB?
Well, Dan. Well, folks, the show's over with.
Can't take it.
Have a wonderful rest of your weekend. See you next week.
It's a reason 30 years later, Dan Anthony can't go anywhere without people thanking him. Not just for the run that he had as one of the great linemen of all time, but for his passion for winning and his passion for the Chicago Bears. Good morning, Hamp. I only wish the head coach cared as much as you do.
You know, Steve-O, hey, it's good to talk to you guys again. Hey, I wish you did too. And you know what? I got to tell you, listening to the post-game comments, it was almost like somebody picked the wrong shade of gray to paint the bathroom, and so now we got to go back to Home Depot or whatever. I mean, it's incomprehensible. The casual. No, so listen, and hey, let me, Zach Miller, I like the kid. You know, well, what happened? Well, when you turn the ball over four times, and you know, it's almost like, we left the oven on 5 minutes too long, and the pastries were overburnt. Yeah, I got to tell you, and what's really, you know, and they act like, oh, darn, bummer, we really, you know, we're kind of bummed out. We had a chance for a two-game winning streak, and it didn't work out. So we'll go back home. We'll clean some stuff. I'm sick of it. I really am. And, you know, look, we all know what the Trestman era looked like up close. Trestman's first year and a half, so to speak, a year and nine games, was 11-14 record. This guy's is 8-17. And for someone to say, well, we got to be, well, patience my ass. And yesterday, and I'm telling you, we didn't go down and play the Falcons or, Drew Brees or some, pretty good. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers is the bottom of the barrel, and for them to rub our nose in it like they did, it's almost unthinkable.
28th ranked defense in the league after getting smacked 36-10. Coach Fox says the offense was pretty solid. Solid at what? I feel like the ghost of Denny Green should have come back and said the Bears are who we thought they were.
Well, I'll tell you this. I went through the drive sheet the other day, and I was appalled at the result of what this. Okay, now we got Jay Cutler back. He actually looked good last week. We got the two offensive guards back. Jordan Howard has been, proclaimed the next Jim Brown. Everything's going. We got this, and this is the result of the drives in this football game. It won't take long. First drive resulted in a punt, then an interception, Okay, they got a field goal, then a fumble, and then a fluke Hail Mary touchdown. Second half, a punt, a fumble for safety, a punt, and then they run out of time. Now, anybody that is delusional enough to stand up at the podium and tell you that the offense was solid forfeits his right to be a head coach in the NFL. And I am perplexed that there is not a cry. And we came out in the opener and we basically were so unprepared, and then we said, hey, we're playing a rookie quarterback in the second game at home on Monday night. This is we better win this, or I said we'd have the torches at Hallis Hall. How much worse has this team played since then? We've got one night where they caught the Vikings on Monday Night Football, and the Bears looked good, not great, good. And other than that, what else has this team accomplished in 2.5 months of wasting our time?
An animal!
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Get to your Chevy dealer. Save yourself some money on the best ride on the road. Get yourself a new Chevy. ChevyDriveChicago.com. Let's get Hamp back in here with Dave Ennett.
So, Hamp...
Hey, I promise you, Chevy's not going to quit on you in Tampa like the Bears did yesterday.
Amen to that,
right,
baby.
That's right. So, they're coming off a bye week, and they have a performance like this. What does that tell you?
Okay, we all know that and I got to tell you, when Mike Ditka had his heart attack, you know what he was doing? He would get to Hallis Hall, and this is like 2 years after the Super Bowl. Instead of him, sleeping in and all that, he's at the Hallis Hall at 5 a.m. going up and down the staircase because it's snow outside and he can't run, but he's still trying to work out. But I mean, and I'm like, this guy is nuts, Well, that was the kind of person he was. He would not accept you to relax, to say, oh, we got it made. Let's take it easy. Come on. Well, this current regime and its total, I'm almost flabbergasted. You have one game of the year. Go back. The other one was against Detroit where we tried to give it away. We held on. Yay, we win a game. The Minnesota game, we actually beat the Vikings, what we thought was a good opponent, in all phases. And there was reason to say, hey, job well done, now going on the bye week. Well, instead of building on that and saying, look, we had a good game, now we need to stack wins, we need to get better, we've got a lot of things that we can improve on. No, it's like a mini spring break. Everybody runs off back to the college town. I don't know what to coach. All I know is instead of, you know, increasing the drumbeat to say we've got to get better, we've got a chance to get back in this. With the win, the Bears would have been 2 games back of the lead in the division.
How about that?
Unbelievably, 2 games back with 7 games to play. And yet, now, it's over, Rover. We're gone pecans. And the one thing that makes me really want to vomit is the fact that they go down and you know, pull a stunt like they did yesterday, and nobody, but nobody on this team, from the head coach down, looks like they're even perturbed in any way about it. So, like I said, the one thing, and the hidden hand behind that Minnesota win, and I am still trying to find out the complete story, but we all heard of a consultant. Remember that? A consultant brought in.
Right.
Because they wanted to know why a team that supposedly was in position to compete and be viable was now 1-7. And all I know is, or excuse me, 1-6. And, you know, George McCaskey, you know, half the fan base wants to say, oh, it's a McCaskey. No, it's not. The McCaskeys are paying big money, and they are earnestly trying to identify why they are not winning or why they are losing. And the consultant was brought in to assist them. Well, guess what? John Fox wants to deny it, but guess what? There must have been something to it. And all I can tell you is, not only is it time to bring the consultant back, but maybe the Mayflower moving representative as well.
You know, this is a game where more and more it's last team with the ball wins. I mean, we see it a lot in college football, too. It's Saturday was a great day. But look at the games yesterday, Hamp. And of the 12 games played yesterday, and then you throw in the Thursday night game, Baltimore-Cleveland, which was a blowout, this was the biggest blowout of any of the games played this weekend in the NFL. And the Bears scored on a 54-yard field goal and a 50-yard Hail Mary.
Could have been a shutout.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I'm just saying, and everybody's okay with it. See, that's the overarching point that I'm trying to make here, folks. Hey, we all want the Bears to do well, but nobody wants to be embarrassed. I don't want to be embarrassed. I'm the indignity of watching that box of garbage yesterday. Everybody should have came out and you know, with red faces screaming, this will not stand, we will make. Nobody said, hey, you know what? They're going to line up at the window tomorrow, get their checks, and go on about their business. And I really, 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 really am having a hard time accepting it. Let me read those records again. Mark Trestman, who was run out of town on a rail.
And was awful. Listen to this number.
11-14 after a year and 9 games. This guy, Fox, 8-17. Yeah. 8-17. And they all want to tell you, oh, well, we've had injuries. Go look at the Green Bay roster. Look at the Indianapolis roster. Other teams, everybody, I don't want to hear about it.
Well, the Dallas Cowboys lose one of the marquee quarterbacks in the game. They bring in a kid that was okay in college, but not the best in the game by far.
Case in point. Hey, let me tell you something else. That Dallas Cowboy defense, I'm not kidding you. They don't have maybe but one player that could start for the Bears.
Yeah.
But look at the way they play the game. You got to stand up and applaud what Rod Marinelli and the rest of those coaches down in Dallas are doing with those two rookies on offense. Hey, if you want it in life, if you want it in football, you go get it. We ain't got nobody ready to get up out of the recliner yet.
All right, so last question. I'll let you go. If you're the Chicago Bears, you're paying an awful lot of money, and you are comparative. You're compared now not just to the Blackhawks, but as you said, the Cubs. And now your marquee position as the team in this town continues to slip. Are you going to let it slip and let this go on for the sake of John Fox and the money you owe him, or for that matter, for the sake of Jay Cutler, even though this isn't Cutler's fault?
Well, Jay Cutler, and everybody knows I'm the biggest Jay Cutler fan in town, but Cutler was complicit yesterday.
Yeah.
There's no question. It was his worst game I think I've ever seen him play. But why did he play that bad? Who allowed that? Who was not there making sure that you prepared him to avoid a game like that? It's all traced back to the coaching and ultimately John Fox. And yes, John Fox would not only be out of Chicago today, I would contact both zoos and try to get both their fox
their fox catchers
taken out as well.
Thank you, buddy. That's Dan Hampton, the Hall of Famer. Again, I wish the Bears cared as much as he does. That's fantastic. And again, ChevyDriveChicago.com. Back after this.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey.
All right, 8:14 now. Dean Richards is here. So I'm watching Saturday Night Live Saturday.
Isn't that an amazing show?
It was pretty amazing. Chappelle was great.
Wow.
But that cold open where Kate McKinnon, who I think is the most talented person on that show in forever, maybe overall going back to Phil Hartman, and I loved Phil Hartman, but she comes out and does a version of Hallelujah.
The Leonard Cohen song.
Right, after he died last week.
As Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton wig and pantsuit. And
right, and sings it beautifully.
Oh.
And then finishes and says, I'm not going to give up and neither should you, with tears in her eyes.
Yeah.
Life, I thought she
Live from New York at Saturday Night. That was one of the most powerful things I've ever seen on Saturday Night Live. And I was trying to think if there had ever been a serious open to the show before. The only thing that I could think of was the first show after 9/11.
Right.
When, I forget who all was out there, but it was Lorne Michaels and Rudy Giuliani, ironically, at the time, out there, and Lorne Michaels goes...
And they asked Rudy if they had his permission to be funny again.
Yeah, and Rudy goes, why start now?
Yeah.
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 But it was, you know, it was touching. It was poignant, wasn't it? You know, first responders and
yeah, exactly.
People who were involved in the 9/11, you know, cleanup and rescue, that all surrounded by Lorne Michaels and Giuliani. But it was, you know, you half thought, I did anyway, that while she was singing, at some point she was going to stop.
Yeah, I expected Alec Baldwin to come out and lay on the piano.
Something, right? Or join her in a duet, something. But it was clean and poignant and powerful, and so was the rest of the show. Dave Chappelle.
How about Dave Chappelle's monologue? Now, Dave Chappelle's monologue, if you know Dave Chappelle's act, that could have gone south very quickly.
Right.
And he did a monologue, and they did a great bit where they're making fun of white people watching the election.
Yeah, and
with black election, folks in the room.
Election watching party.
right.
Election watching party where I forget which of the cast. I mean, it was
Chris Rock did a walk on. Chris Rock comes in.
Chris Rock comes in with Dave Chappelle while they're watching, and they're watching the returns. You know, and the night is going on and on. They're time stamping the night, and it's going on and on, and
going
south for Hillary. And at one point, they go, "Well, you know, Wisconsin's not in yet. We haven't heard. You know, the urban vote's not in yet. Black people vote very late." And Chris Rock, you know, turns to the camera. Actually, you know what? I'm sorry. We don't have a clip of this. But Chris Rock.
Well, it's long and out of context anyway without the timestamp.
Yeah,
but I know the point you're talking about.
Chris Rock goes, well, hopefully there's 100,000 of us in Green Bay.
Right. Because there's always 100,000 black folks in Green Bay.
Yeah.
But that was really well done. But anyway, a little bit of the Chappelle monologue.
The monologue, which
is listen to this.
Brilliant.
I'm wishing Donald Trump luck. And I'm going to give him a chance. And we, the historically disenfranchised, demand that he give us one too. Thank you very much. I watched a white riot in Portland, Oregon on television the other night. News said they did $1 million worth of damage. Every black person was watching that like amateurs.
funny. He was hilarious and poignant and touching. And
well, what a great line. I mean, that ought to be the slogan for this. We'll give you a chance, but you got to give us a chance.
You got to give us a chance, too. Exactly.
That should be a slogan for everybody.
Completely now. Hit the nail on the head. I mean, you know, that was as powerful a comedy monologue as we have seen since George Carlin would, you know, be at the same time hilarious and bitingly funny at the same time. The monologue was great. The comedy sketches.
It was a really good show.
He was really great. Chappelle brought back some of his old characters, which was fun to see if you're a fan of his old Comedy Central show. I know that you highlight for you probably was the performance of A Tribe Called Quest.
Yep.
The
first new album from them in, I think, 18 years.
18 years.
I was in that band. You know that, right?
I did. You were Tribe, weren't you?
I was actually called.
You were called.
I was called.
Oh, okay.
There were three of us: Tribe, Called, and Quest.
Yeah. So they performed, and that was amazing. It was really one of the best shows. And given the political climate right now, and the tense nature of everything going on in America, probably could not have been more appropriate.
And if you miss the show, didn't DVR it, you can find it. But I would encourage you to at least see the Kate McKinnon open and see the Chappelle monologue at some point today. We'll come back, talk about Leon Russell, talk about Sting, talk about Jackie Chan, talk about what Dean did Saturday night, and whether or not Cyndi Lauper's still with him. But before we take the break for traffic, Dave?
All right, Visit with Dean, sponsored by the Grossinger Auto Group.
I'm up on the back road. One side save, one is home. If you want it to be real good, then I'm laying here making love to you.
Deep alone, and I was singing this song to you. Deep alone, and I was singing this song to you.
My bottom tag white.
Man, I loved his voice. Dean Richards rejoins us.
Those songs. I could listen. I mean, I love.
I played a few of them.
All of his songs. Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, it takes me completely back to my DJ days. But
you know, and in late life, Leon Russell started to look like one of those guys that lives on a mountaintop and doesn't pay his taxes. You know, just come up because he's got a shotgun.
He was Duck Dynasty before it was popular.
That's exactly right. Yeah. But he died this weekend, I guess,
he
right?
He did, 74 years old. They haven't released an official cause of death, but he had a heart attack earlier this year. They're not saying if it was related to that. But talk about a legacy performer. He was a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, singer, songwriter. He had his own hits, some of which you just heard. That song, Singing a Song for You,
yeah.
100 different performers have recorded that song. 100. He wrote the song Superstar for the Carpenters, their classic hit, so
sure.
Identified with them. He wrote This Masquerade for George Benson. He was in the band for the Ronettes, Be My Baby, way back in the day.
Come on. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was a session player, keyboard player. He was a favorite session player for the Stones and Bob Dylan, Elton John, Willie Nelson.
So he really didn't have much of a career.
No, people did not have any respect or love for him. But just an amazing performer. I literally had... I may still have it because I'm a little pack ratty. May still have the 8-track for that album that has Tightrope on it.
Well, let me just say, if you do, I'll put it in my 8-track player and enjoy it as well as soon as you let me borrow it.
Anytime.
He will be missed. Before we get to Saturday night, Sting was in concert in Paris. The significance of that was?
Well, it was the one-year anniversary of the tragedy in Paris, the massacre, really. At the Bataclan Theater, where is it, like 80 people, I think it was, were killed at that concert. The concert past Saturday night featured Sting. Heavy security in place. Fans had to go through barricades and body searches, and there were armed police everywhere. Family members were mostly comprised in the audience. So it was a powerful night, a poignant night, but they rose out of the ashes there. And just on a side note with that, they announced this morning that Sting is going to be coming to Chicago to play at not one of the gigantic venues, at the Aragon Theater. So that's going to be kind of an intimate night with Sting and Joe Sumner and the Last Bandoleros.
Wow.
Will be his opening act.
By the way, he's 65 years old.
65 years old.
And he looks like he doesn't have an ounce of fat on him.
No, he's the when I interviewed him, remember he had his musical here a couple of years ago. I almost
the depressing thing about ships.
Almost had him. Right. And then we saw the play, and it was even more depressing.
First off, the guy's in great shape, and now he puts this thing on stage.
Yeah, that made me feel a little better. It's like, oh, my God, the guy is 65, he's in great shape. Well, at least his play sucks.
Hey, I heard a great story this weekend. I'd forgotten this, but you remember that when P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, Sean Combs did Missing You?
Yeah.
And he sampled part of Every Breath You Take
right.
in the song. Well, the story I heard was he never asked Sting for permission.
Oops.
So because they're not asking Sting for permission for that 20 seconds of Every Breath You Take or however long it is, Sting makes $800,000 a year in royalties.
That's amazing.
As opposed to about $200,000, which is what he would have gotten if he said yes.
Wow.
Not bad.
That's not a bad payday.
And he needs the money.
That's not a bad payday. The March 3rd concert, tickets for the March 3rd concert at the Aragon will go on sale 1 week from today. If you want, it's going to be, they're obviously going to sell out very quickly.
Jackie Chan got an honorary Oscar because he threatened to kick somebody in the head if they didn't finally give it to him.
Yeah, they don't really have a best martial arts category.
Right.
With the best falling off a building
right.
Kind of thing. So they gave him an honorary Oscar, which was nice.
And finally, Saturday night, America Salutes You, a Veterans Day weekend concert. How'd it go?
Yeah, this was really fun. The most amazing collection of musical artists from so many different genres, including Gavin DeGraw kicked off the show, Ricky Skaggs, bluegrass legend, C.C. Winans, gospel legend, Wanda Jackson, blues legend, Lawrence Kearns from the tenors performed. Jim Cornelison sang the national anthem, amazing. And pop rock Grammy winner Cyndi Lauper was there, all to benefit various veterans groups who I talked to and I met. And we're going to be sharing more on my Sunday show in the next week or so. Some amazing organizations that work with people. But I talked with Cyndi backstage before the show about why she was there, and because she wanted to help people who have made the sacrifice. But I told her that her song True Colors was such the appropriate song for that night for veterans, and she elaborated on that.
Well, it's one of those special songs. It's a healing song. I didn't write that song. That was a Billy Steinberg and Tom Kelly song, but it was a healing song, and I really always felt that way about it. And I arranged it, but I didn't write it. I had gone through a loss myself. So, I look at you like that because, I'm a rock and roller. I don't want to be, I'm supposed to be a little more hard edge.
Yeah, she didn't want to seem too soft.
It's my favorite Cyndi Lauper song.
I agree with you 1,000%. This night at the Rosemont Theater was recorded. We're going to play it back on Thanksgiving evening at 8 o'clock on WGN TV.
And by the way, again, I volunteered to MC that thing back in the spring. And Larry Wirt, we were playing golf at the time, and Larry Wirt, who runs this company, said, yeah, I got Tom Dreesen and Dean, and don't talk to me while we're playing.
I had nothing to do with the show. I was only doing interviews. Dreesen did a very nice job of hosting. Oddly,
I saw Larry in a hall the other day, and he said, you still here?
That's comforting. That's comforting now that
I'm glad it was a hit. I know you guys raised a bunch of money.
It was a good night. I'll tell you what. People always ask me about my favorite interviews. My favorite interviews are when I get to interview people like the ones that I met on Saturday night whose sons, husbands, brothers, family members were lost in military tragedies, and they are reaching out and trying to help other
people. How about that?
Very, very moving organizations working exclusively with the kids of veterans.
Yep.
There are some amazing organizations. Veterans Day has to be more than saying, yeah, we salute those in service. Yeah. We have to. People really need to step up and do a lot more for veterans, seriously.
Well said. Talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.
That's Dean, back with the big story next, 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
Steve Cochran, we're upstairs today, upstairs in the Tribune Tower on the seventh floor. So if you walk by and you go, well, no Steve in the window. We're rehabbing of sorts. We're doing something down there. Redoing the walls or something, decorating it for Christmas.
A little of the above.
Well, I have a minute here. Steve Bannon is the new chief strategist for President-elect Trump. Steve Bannon's not a name I would expect most of you to know. But he was the executive editor of Breitbart. Breitbart is an alt-right alleged news blog site. It's not news. It makes the Drudge Report look like it's completely fair and factual. But Steve Bannon doesn't necessarily have to be a bad guy any more than Trump has to be a bad guy in the White House. I share your concerns. I'm frankly more concerned about Bannon than I am at Trump at this point after the last week. But Reince Priebus was named chief of staff, and Bannon was named his chief strategist. Where this goes is concerning because here are a few of the headlines, Dave from and Mary from Breitbart, under Steve Bannon. Bill Kristol, who is the National Review boss, the conservative paper that came out hard against Trump. Here's the headline. Bill Kristol, Republican spoiler, renegade Jew. Big trans hate machine targets Kurt Schilling.
Okay.
Kurt Schilling, who was good, you know, a hardcore Republican, get a run for Senate. Yep. Big trans hate machine. Okay. Sympathy for the devils, the plot against Roger Ailes in America. Do you actually think Roger Ailes would have handed over millions of dollars of his own money if he wasn't guilty? I don't.
Oh, I'm sure he would have, Steve.
And Megyn Kelly's book is out, actually confirming everything Gretchen Carlson said from her own standpoint. Here's one you'll love, Mayor. There's no hiring bias against women in tech. They just suck at interviews.
Oh, that's comforting.
This may be the worst. Gabby Giffords, the gun control movement's human shield.
Oh.
This is a woman that took a bullet in the head
from a nut.
Who Bannon and his like at Breitbart are using in their gun control argument. I mean, it goes on and on. How about this one? Birth control makes women unattractive and crazy. You see what I mean when I said it's not a news site? But there's a lot of people who are on the farthest of the far right who see Bannon as some sort of hero, and I'm here to tell you he's not. Now, Joe Scarborough, earlier this morning on MSNBC, reportedly said that Bannon was the guy keeping Trump between the lines in the last few days and getting him to talk about issues. So if I believe Trump can change, and frankly I have to, then I believe that Bannon should be given an opportunity to change. But I don't like it. The Reince Priebus appointment makes sense. This one does not. Let's get traffic in here, and then I got a book I'd like you to consider in just a second. It's 8:46 before we get to the author. Let's get to this, and Mary's here with your cars. There is a weight, as in heaviness, in the streets. And frankly, both sides need to step up and say, this violence that we've seen over the last week, not allowable on any level, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk to Lieutenant Dave Grossman, former West Point psychology professor, internationally recognized expert on human aggression, the roots of violence, and more. He's got a brand new book called Assassination Generation, Video Games Aggression and the Psychology of Violence. And let me bring him in now. Lieutenant Colonel, good morning.
Hey, proud to be on there with you. You know, I'm an Illinois resident. We live in central Illinois.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, and you know, as you well know, Chicago had over a 20% increase in homicide rate last year. And in the first three quarters of this year, we had more homicides than all of last year put together. But it's a nationwide. The top 50 largest cities in America had, across the board, had a 17% increase in the homicide rate last year. And we talk about that in our new book, Assassination Generation, the new factor. All the old problems are still there. All the old problems are still important. But the new factor, the medical community, the AMA, the APA, the Surgeon General, screaming from the mountainside, the sick movies and the sick video games, creating sick kids.
Well, look, here's what we know. Words matter, leadership matters. And that means from the president and the president-elect all the way to your house, I would maintain that what goes on in your house matters more than anything else because it's all an outgrowth from there, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, when I was a kid, we could walk to the hardware store and buy cigarettes at any age.
Yep.
We never buckled our seatbelt. And we were all fine. We never buckled our seatbelt. We could buy cigarettes. Well, we live in a different world. I think it's a good world today when kids can't buy tobacco. And we live in a good world when kids have to buckle their seatbelts.
Sure, of course.
Violent visual imagery inflicted upon children is a new technological dynamic that our society's got to get under control.
What does it do to the brain?
We got the brain scan studies in our book. Violent visual imagery inflicted upon children makes fight or flight hormones flood through their brain. We got brain scan data from around the planet. But the good news is you can detox that kid. The Stanford Med School pioneered a TV turn-off curriculum, replicated an entire K-12 school. Turn off TV, movie, and video games for 10 days, cut violence in half, cut bullying in half, and raise test scores double digits.
Have you seen anything related to PTSD when soldiers come home if they're of a certain age and were exposed to violence before they went over?
You know, post-traumatic stress disorder has three variables in it. One is predisposing factors before the event, then the nature of the event, and the support structure after the event. And the predisposing factors that we have inflicted upon children at a young age could very well be a part of that equation. So this is all part of the equation of the worst part of it in many ways is just the bullying. Children who take pleasure from inflicting human death and suffering, the video games have rewarded them. When you and I played toy guns, somebody got hurt, we all gather on the hurt kid and try to convince him not to tell mom.
Right, exactly.
Basketball game, a football game, somebody gets hurt, the play stops. In a video game, you're rewarded for inflicting death and suffering. And what it's done is the bullying in our schools has exploded. We have this generation, not all of them, but a portion of them. You know, I grew up, I wanted to be Marshall Dillon on Gunsmoke and Sergeant Friday. There's a chunk of this generation that truly believes one of the greatest achievements in life is to be the gang lord at the end of Grand Theft Auto. Sopranos, Breaking Bad, Sons of Anarchy. We're not just fighting guns. We're not just fighting meth or heroin. We're fighting a generation that grew up on these games that are so immersive that they become an alternate reality.
Yeah, and I don't want to oversimplify it, Doctor, but the lack of humanity and the lack of empathy that's the outgrowth of this can be stopped by parents who are paying attention.
Absolutely, but they got to be educated. They got to be informed, and that's where the book comes in. You know, M-rated video games, Call of Duty is 17 and above. The M-rated video games, the industry says children under 17 should not be playing the game. It's like an X-rated movie.
Right.
And yet they advertise those games on national TV and national ball games. The industry made more money on one video game, Grand Theft Auto V. Made more money than the entire global music industry.
How about that?
And they just need to be leased in, like tobacco, like alcohol, like firearms, like automobiles. There are things adults can do, but kids can't.
All right, now I know you got to run and talk to other folks, and I hope we can have you back. But before you do that, Assassination Generation, Video Games, Aggression, and the Psychology of Violence. I don't want people to be scared away to think they're going to be reading a mental health textbook. This is relatable to parents, right?
Amen, exactly right. To just be informed. And with Christmas season coming up, when we decide what games to get, what games to protect our children from, the virtual reality has brought this all to an entirely new level. That parents have got to be educated, and it's focused first and foremost on the parents.
We'll see you in the neighborhood. Thanks for being on the show, and we will have you back. And thanks for jumping on and hanging with us a little extra time. It's Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman, Assassination Generation. Video Games, Aggression, and the Psychology of Violence. Clean it up. It starts in your home. And by the way, it also starts in your home in regards to, listen, you're a Trump supporter. God bless you. That's great. We all should be at this point. But that doesn't mean you support the KKK. That doesn't mean you support the alt-right and some of these groups that have come out in favor of a Trump presidency. That doesn't mean you endorse those values, but those are the messages you need to communicate to your kids. You're a Hillary supporter and you're disappointed that she lost. Well, that doesn't mean you support going out in the street and pounding on the next white guy you see because you think you voted for Trump. Both are wrong, horribly wrong. It starts at home. Be a parent, not a best friend. It's 8:57. Back after this on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
9:10 now. Live from the 7th floor of the WGN Tribune Tower, we welcome in Steve Dale. Nice to see you, Steve. How are you?
I am great and so excited because we have a dog here that must be adopted out. I mean, this is the cutest dog.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, the cutest dog ever. Won't stop playing with Dave Ennett. Of course, I'm sometimes the same way.
That'll make Nick's out of context for sure. Yeah. By the way, this dog's name is?
This dog's name is Tabitha.
Yeah, and Tabitha's fur sort of looks like my hair before I started shaving my head. Once I started to shave my head, I beat it back. But
Tabitha's actually has a sad sort of backstory. Carolyn Mossberger with West Suburban Humane Society, where this dog is at, mm-hmm. won't be for long yet, but right. is at now, can tell the story.
What happened? And hi.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you. Tabitha is from Indiana, and she and a little Yorkie sibling lived outside, chained to a doghouse, and she had a really bad flea infestation, hence the hair, and a bad bacterial infection. But her owner decided that he no longer wanted to feed the two of them and turned them over to animal control.
I guess the only good part of that story is he actually called.
Exactly. He actually turned them over instead of just leaving them chained up outside.
And they will be at a better place.
Right. No doubt about it. But Tabitha looks very healthy now.
She is. She's doing great. Just going to take a little while for that hair to grow back. But other than that, she's healthy and ready to get adopted.
Kind of like your hair. It's half grown back.
Yeah, we've given up that ghost for quite some time now. No behavior issues. Loves kids. Loves old people.
Loves everybody.
Old people.
Right. Loves right. everybody.
Right. And everybody in between. And how old is Tabitha?
She's 3.
Well, that's perfect age.
I know. The dog's already house trained and all that. Well-behaved, except this dog's tail doesn't stop wagging.
It's a happy dog.
Happy, happy, happy. I mean, I was walking down the
street.
What
if you wrapped Tabitha for Christmas and just left the tail out of the back and some breathing up front? That'd be fun.
Goes back and forth. I know.
Present running around your house for a month.
But, I mean, this dog, I mean, so it's amazing how dogs are so forgiving. This dog was chained up outside. This dog was stuck in a doghouse. In all kinds of weather, I assume.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, terrible. Nothing any of your listeners would do, but someone did this to this dog and another dog as well. And this dog was ridden with fleas all over.
Well, it's understandable, but it does go to the point where we should mention that you never, ever, ever, ever have to leave an animal without a future in that manner. You can anonymously report that you can't take care of an animal. And by the way, it doesn't mean you're a bad person if you can't take care of an animal anymore.
Absolutely.
The crossover to bad person is when you leave the animal to die. So what should people do in that regard for either one of you?
If they just
wanted to anonymously say, I can't do it.
They should just take him to animal control.
And that's what happened.
And drop him off. Absolutely. That he did the right thing instead of just leaving the dog and not taking care of it. Yes, take it to animal control where they will take it.
And if you see a neighbor whose dog is in such a situation, call animal control because the dog can't be rescued.
Let him check it out.
Yeah, yeah. And so Tabitha was rescued, treated for fleas.
What are you doing?
Easy enough now, just flea protection, treated for the bacterial infection. The hair is growing back. Healthy as can be.
Absolutely.
And does love everyone. So about dogs, it's all about temperament. Now, but we should talk about what this dog is since we're on the radio.
Should have elected this dog last week.
No argument.
Got a great temperament.
I wrote in Snoopy when I voted.
It's the right call.
Yeah, I thought so. So Terrier Mix?
Terrier Mix, her owner, as I was telling Steve before, said Chinese crested.
No,
maybe
no.
because of the lack of hair, he thought Chinese crested, but a Terrier Mix.
Does she bark in Mandarin? I mean, what is Chinese crested?
It is a breed of dog, actually.
What does that mean?
It's a breed of dog. They're very cool dogs. It's kind of like sleeping with a hot water bottle heater, actually, mm-hmm. because they love to be under the covers with you because they typically have no hair, or the powder puff variety, as it's called, just has a little bit of hair. They are the sweetest dogs in the world. This is a sweet dog, but it's not a Chinese crested. It's likely to be some sort of terrier mix.
Right.
That's a great looking mutt there right now.
Are you talking about Dave Ennett holding the dog or the dog?
It does help Dave. It certainly does. There's no question. And what do you do to adopt?
Just come to the shelter. We have a little application form that we have you fill out so we can try to match you with the right dog for you and your family.
But what if you love cats? You have a special going on.
We do. We have an adoption special for the month of November. We are running a special. Cats 6 months and older are only $25, and cats under 6 months are $50. So great time to add a kitty to your life.
Yeah, because they're being overwhelmed with cats because people let out their cats still. And they're not spayed or neutered, which means you get more and more and more cats, and you have more and more and
we
more.
We do, and we always take our animals back. So if it doesn't work out in the family, we ask them to bring them back. And we've had, unfortunately, an influx of returns lately.
Including some older cats, you said.
We did. I think
you can tell they're older cats because they tell the same story over and over again, but they're sweet about it. So talk about your shelter for a second, the history of it and where you are. And
where we're located. We are a, let me get this right, 44-year-old Humane Society. We've been in the Downers Grove suburb for all of the 44 years. We do not euthanize for cage space. So once an animal comes in, it stays with us until it finds its forever home. And I think one thing that makes us unique is we don't turn our back on medical cases. So it doesn't matter. It could be heartworm.
The flea dermatitis this dog had.
Right.
You know, that's expensive to treat the stuff, and the same for heartworm.
Right. We do. We've done leg surgeries, shoulder surgeries.
Well, nobody gets into your business to get rich. They get into your business because you love these animals and you want them to be okay.
Right.
Yeah. And we salute you for it. What's your website?
It is www.wshs-dg.org.
All right. Can you link that through yours, Steve?
Absolutely. I have a blog post up there right now on that. And I can talk about Thanksgiving and pets.
Well, I also want to talk to you because we'll do this next month before the year runs out. But I want to talk to you about people who really want to give a pet for Christmas and whether or not that's a good idea. And watch Steve's head explode. I'll also remind
right in front
you,
of you.
We'll remind you how you can adopt Tabitha. Dave, put Tabitha down. Focus on your job.
I did.
It's 9:17. You can see Tabitha on Facebook Live now. Where are we, Bennett?
WGN Radio.
WGN Radio. At WGN Radio. What is it? At or hashtag?
And Facebook. At WGN Radio.
At WGN Radio.
Or WGNRadio.com, right?
Yeah. So we are streaming that now. 9:17. Back with more in a moment. Steve Dale, Sunday mornings and 7:20 WGN. Tabitha requested this. She's sort of into EDM and club mix. Tabitha now broadcasting live from Dave's microphone. Make yourself at home, puppy.
Oh, that was great.
We didn't even have to pose that. That just happened. Steve Dale's here. Before we mention how to adopt Tabitha again, Thanksgiving and your dogs. Don't feed them what? Oops, how about your microphone? There
that's okay. Chocolate, for one thing, people seem to know that, has theobromine in it. That's the dark chocolate that is particularly a problem. Xylitol, that's an artificial sweetener that's in some brownies that we make. So around Christmas, if you're making brownies for Santa, who probably doesn't need the calories.
So
you're
chocolate,
using
don't give
sugar-free.
It to your dog.
Yeah, but the artificial sweetener in products called xylitol.
Yeah, but
what
does xylitol
really
have a street name? I mean, is it the packets of sweetener or stuff? It's not called xylitol.
Yeah,
it is.
It's
do you
in
buy
some,
xylitol?
No, it's in some peanut butter. It's in
yeah, but
some
I'm trying
products.
To get people to not just, you know, to get the easy route as opposed to looking at the ingredients.
But they have to look at the ingredients because it doesn't have that.
Is it XY? Generic.
Yeah.
XY.
Yeah, ZY.
The traditional spelling.
XY
olatol.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah.
All right, so that's important.
Uh-huh.
But also,
and
don't you always talk about not giving dogs bones because they spoil?
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much. You are right about that. And you can cause all sorts of problems. You know, a little bit of turkey, like for a dog like this, that's Tabitha, maybe 12 pounds or something. Tabitha's in that range somewhere. A little tiny slice of turkey. But what we forget is that a 12-pound dog isn't going to eat like a person who weighs 212 pounds,
right.
You know? So one slice of turkey to a dog like this or a cat is like a
it's
half a
meal.
Turkey for us. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, yeah, if there's no fat on the turkey a little bit for some dogs that don't have other issues, maybe I didn't say that. But sure, it's not going to hurt your dog. But people tend to overdo it. Or the fat that's on the ham or turkey, that can cause pancreatitis, which is a serious problem potentially.
Fast forward to Christmas for me.
Yes.
Shopping has begun.
Yes. Happy Christmas, everybody.
And people mean well.
Yeah.
And if you got an incredibly cute kid that's going, I want a dog, I want a dog, I want a dog, I've been good, I'll help. Good idea?
Maybe. Believe it or not. So here's the confusion. So if you impulsively go walk down the street and you see a dog at a pet store, a cat, no, don't do it. First of all, that animal's probably from a puppy mill. That's number one. But there's actually data now that suggests that dogs purchased or adopted, is a better word, around the holiday season are no more likely to be returned than a dog that's adopted in, say, June.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that is a good thing.
Yeah.
So if you make a thoughtful decision, and if it's a legitimate shelter, like West Suburban Humane, anti-cruelty down the street, whatever the shelter is, that's fine. That's okay.
What type of pet's a bad idea?
A pet that you've done no research on in general. And
llama.
An impulsive decision.
Yeah. Emu.
It depends. You know, a hippopotamus might be not right. You know,
rhino.
You need a big
How
bathtub.
Many times have you had to return the rhino?
Santa's going to make his first appearance, by the way, in the Chicago area. I happen to know. I'm a news guy at heart. I happen to have the scoop on this, sort of speak.
Okay.
It'll be November 20th at 11 a.m. at Famous Fido's. She was in the studio a couple of months ago. We adopted out a dog that Gloria brought in from Fido's. And they will. You can bring your dog. You can get a portrait of your dog with Santa November 20th from 11 a.m. until 5 p.m.
Santa would love Tabitha. You could take Tabitha for your first family photo.
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely right.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yep.
Goldfish. Good idea for Christmas.
Sure.
Safe. What about a gerbil or a hamster?
So the thing about goldfish is people get if you want a first fish, a beta fish is probably a better idea. Goldfish don't live in bowls.
What's a beta fish? Like a test fish?
That's a fancy goldfish. So it's got all those things on its fins. And when you walk into a pet store, you see them singly alone in a bowl, but they do well in bowls. Goldfish actually don't, which is the reason why they end up flushed maybe a week after Christmas.
Yeah, so not great.
A beta fish would be a better idea. This is the cutest dog.
Tabitha
in the world.
And her new best friend Dave.
Yes.
What's a bad pet idea? I asked you this in form, but in all seriousness, if people are thinking about a pet for the holidays, obviously reptiles, things of that nature, but anything where there's concerted care and understanding of what you're taking on is okay?
Yeah. I mean, if mom and dad understand, ultimately it's going to be my responsibility. And choose the right dog or cat for them and their lifestyle, I think it's a great thing.
Okay. What are you doing on your show, Sunday?
I am. We're talking to David Fry and John O'Hurley, the actor.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
Friend of the show.
Yeah, they're going to be broadcasting the National Dog Show presented by Purina.
And O'Hurley's great at it.
Yeah, well, yes. Yeah. I wish I could hire him just to do a voice thing for the beginning of my show.
You'd like to hire him to just hang at your house and just announce things.
Yeah, like when I go on the bus.
Steve, it's time for dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah, that type of thing.
I can't do that. That
house
was very
announcer.
Good. That was
right.
Very good.
Right.
Yeah.
He's like Bill Curtis's younger brother.
Yes.
Or Orion, for that matter. So that's on Sunday. And let's plug it again. The beautiful Tabitha.
West Suburban Humane Society, where you have a benefit.
We do. We have an auction coming up. It's called a Pawction. It's our
online
auction, which starts next Saturday, the 19th at noon, runs for 10 days, and ends at noon on Giving Tuesday.
And you're giving away Hamilton tickets.
We have Hamilton tickets.
Yes.
Yep. We have Cubs tickets, Blackhawks tickets, Coach purses, Vera Bradley bags. We have.
That's pretty great.
Yeah. We've got a lot of nice
Cup
stuff.
Tickets.
Cubs tickets.
Yeah.
That's
World Series right? Cubs tickets. Game 8.
Yes.
Right. Yes. Give me.
I wish not quite. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's
that
the,
so cool.
That's a Pawction.
Yeah. Where do you find out about this?
You can right now go to our website to find out information. Like I said, it will be live on the 19th at noon, and you can see all the great items we have up for bid,
including Hamilton tickets. Hamilton
right now,
tickets.
Dave is rolling over on his back, and Tabitha.
This
is
a great dog. I have to tell you, this is one of the most affectionate, friendly, curious dogs. Somebody with kids, I think this dog would be
great. That's great. And you know, I could tell Dave was happy. They sniffed each other's butts. And then Dave followed him around the room.
No, this is, I think, the funniest dog that we've had in. Would you agree?
Well, yeah. I mean, she climbed up. She's looking down
she's
Michigan
window,
Avenue.
Looking, yeah, she's checking out.
Everything out.
She actually just called her own Uber.
She's very smart.
Very, very smart dog. Nice to see you guys. Good luck through the holidays. And Steve, nice to see you
as always. Thank you.
Sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Just had a Coach Q on the way. How about we relive last night's big win? Roll it.
I know you can see me now. Here's a surprise. That you have, cause there's magic in my eyes.
Preparing for miles and miles and miles.
I can see for miles and miles and miles and miles.
It's circus road trip time. Coach Kidd joins us now. Good morning, how are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Sorry about the delay. We had a little technical problem here. We're on a different floor of the Tribune Tower, and the gerbil wasn't running fast enough on the treadmill, so I apologize. All right, so let's talk, before we get to the great news of the weekend, let's talk about some tough news that all Hawks fans heard. Our friend Brian Bickell diagnosed with MS. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, sad news. Well, Bick's one of those guys that you'll always remember, a big part of our success here. And, he'll try to battle and work his way through it. And, you know, he's a great man, and he's a competitive guy, and you know, you gotta admire him the way he perseveres and all the challenges that he has, and we wish him all the best.
Big tough guy, and the advantage of being in the position of being an athlete at the highest level, he's got great access to great medical care, and as long as he listens to his doctors and does the treatments, there's no reason he can't have a full life.
Yeah, I think that that's the plan with Bix, and you know, we wish him nothing but the best.
Let's talk about last night in particular, even though the whole weekend was good. You guys have been on such a great run. That Kaner goal, I don't want to get too crazy here, but the Bobby Orr goal back in the day, one of the classic NHL pictures where he's literally horizontal to the ice. I mean, he's fallen forward, Kaner is, and flips the puck over the goalie's shoulder. That's just so cool. I mean, that's an all-timer.
That was a great goal. We've had some interesting goals, some great goals this year. Had a great goal, and Kaner's goal is certainly one of those that had the wow factor attached to it. And, you know, stretched out, going through a couple of guys after having a pretty good opportunity earlier, and then beats one or two guys with a guy draped on him, going down with a great shot, and huge goal as well.
Oh, big goal from Marian Hossa to tie the game. How do you explain, and this is going to sound strange because he's a five.
He's drinking extra insure.
It's insure. I don't. He's a 500 goal scorer, but he had 13 goals all of last year. He's got 9 already this year. I know he drinks from the fountain of youth. We've already established that. But what's going on?
Well, I think Hoss is, last year he wasn't like he wasn't getting opportunities. Mm-hmm. And I think that the last couple of years, we still find Hoss does everything we want him to do, both sides of the puck, creates offensively, checks better than anybody. And, I think around the net, the quality was there and the quantity was there as well. So nice to see him getting some production here. And whether it's a shot, whether he's around the net, but he's been around the net a little bit more. And the finish has been there. Commend him on preparing himself for a great World Cup as well coming into the season, and he's continued on to play the right way, and we know he'll always play the right way. And but the I don't even want to say a bonus, because we'd like to see him score, and at the rate he's scoring, that has been great for us.
Circus trip's coming up. This is an annual thing. It's an opportunity for you guys on the road to bond like never before. Was it 7 games? I think
7 games.
And starts this week. This year any different than any other?
No, I think it's got the Canadian swing to it, and then we go to the U.S. out west, and then we got Thanksgiving out in L.A. and got the Anaheim Friday afternoon and a Saturday night in L.A. So it's very consistent, whether it's 6 or 7 games, and it's all tough games, and we've done reasonably well. We expect a real good test, though, because we had some stretches this year where we've been okay and found a way to win. We need to be better than okay, like I thought we've played over the last 4 or 5 games, where we seem to be trending in the right direction as far as the overall team game.
You start out at Winnipeg tomorrow night. You're going to see the leading scorer in the National Hockey League as well as the leading goal scorer. What are your thoughts on Patrick Laine and what he's done so far?
Oh, it's a great start. It's great for the league. We've got some good young players that are coming in that could be great, great players. And he's coming in with a, brings the whole package. He's got size, he's got skill, he's got speed. And I'm sure he's electrified Winnipeg already with his start and what he's bringing to them. So it's, just like in Toronto with Matthews, we've got some, you go to Edmonton. Same thing in McDavid. So there's some great young players coming into the league, and their franchises, I'm sure, are excited about their futures. I'm looking forward to seeing him play. I know he's in our division, and now we have to make sure that we try to prevent him from having another big night like he's had over the recent games.
We'll talk to you from the road. Have a great trip. But I can't leave the Canada discussion without asking you, Q, the coolest goal you ever scored.
I ever scored?
Yeah, coolest? The coolest goal you ever scored.
Well, I was lying on my... basically laying on the ground face first, and I was just trying to sustain a puck that was from being delayed, at a delayed penalty, and I just wanted to get it before somebody else touched it, and I just kind of whipped it with my stick on when it was flat on the ice, and it went in the net, and it was like
nice.
It was one of those no business goals, but on the way.
And that's why so many players now have tried to replicate the Coach Q flat on your face stick whip. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
You should patent that. That's a cool move. Thank you, my friend. Look forward to talking to you from the road. Have a great trip.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, bud. It's Coach Q. And back after this with Bill and Wendy on 720 WGN. Back with Bill and Wendy now from the palatial seventh floor of the Tribune Tower. Do we need another break? Are we okay? We're okay. How are you guys?
Palatial.
Speak for yourself.
We've had to make a few adjustments today. Nice job by you, Mike Jacobson, and everybody else, and Sandberg, and everybody for getting it done today. And Ben, because switching studios should be easy, but there's a lot that goes into it. Dave, nice job by you with rolling with it.
Well, thank you. You too, Steve.
Did you guys peek downstairs? How's the rehab coming?
It looks to be coming along.
It just looks messy.
Yeah.
That's all I see.
A lot of plaster and stuff
and
around.
And equipment and people.
Yeah. And we're redoing the Allstate walls for our friends at Allstate and putting up Christmas stuff. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Christmas stuff is tomorrow, I thought.
Yes, tree time.
Are we up here again today or tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I know nothing.
Yeah.
All right, excellent.
Did you bring a caulk gun? I have a caulk gun.
You know, it's funny you say that. That was my nickname when I played
caulk
ball.
Gun.
Caulk gun.
Caulk gun Cochran.
Yeah, caulk gun Cochran. Yeah. Caulk and Cochran.
It has a great ring to it.
Yeah, it really does.
You should still have that. That's a great nickname. Talking Caulk and Cochran.
Talking Caulk and Cochran. That's not bad either. Yeah. Mary, before we wrap this up, it's time to eliminate more stars tonight. And I think we're down to our final 57 people on Dancing with the Stars, aren't we?
No, down to five. Five left, I think, tonight. And then next week, it's two nights of the finale. So three more shows.
Are you paying attention, Bill?
Oh, yeah. This is big.
How about you, Wendy?
No, I'm starting a new thing, Eating with the Stars. I'm going to go out to dinner with them.
Oh, you know what? That's a show.
It really is.
That really is.
Yeah, you
a
could
show.
Be with the pro eaters.
Yeah, no, I don't want to actual that. Celebrities.
I want to enjoy my food, not stick it in a glass of water and swallow it.
You can eat 25 hot dogs in a minute.
Jerry, is this true that on Dancing with the stars with the most votes won't necessarily win if the Electoral College picks somebody else? Is that true?
Yeah, it's true. It is true. And I'll tell you, it frustrates a lot of people.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's going to be protests.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons that the Vanilla Ice is off. He didn't carry Ohio.
He could barely carry himself. Baby.
So Mary will review that tomorrow, and apparently we'll be back up here on the seventh floor tomorrow, where the current temperature in the studio is 4 below, just so you guys are aware. It's a beautiful studio.
Can't feel my hands.
You talk about a first world problem. We're in this beautiful studio, and I'm bitching about the temperature.
That's what we do.
So, anything you guys want to plug?
Stuff. Lots of stuff.
Well, good luck with that.